What's going on with Peter? Peter's one of Jesus' disciples. He's not just one of Jesus' disciples. He's the disciple that Jesus says, as you heard, he says, "You're the rock, Peter. Peter, your name means rock. You're the rock on which I'm going to build my church." Jesus had just asked the question. In Mark's gospel, this happens after some events that really start to disclose who Jesus truly is. And it's unmistakable. So Jesus asks the question. He says, "I want to know, like, who do you think that I am?" We've talked about this. We've preached on this text not too long ago. And Peter, without thinking about it, I mean, it's not that Peter speaks before he thinks. It's not that Peter jumps before he looks. Peter's a reasonable human being, but Peter has been given a faith, an incredible faith. So when Jesus asks the question, who do you say that I am? Peter says, "I believe that you're the one. You're the Son of God. You're the one that we've been waiting for. I believe it. I believe it as strongly as I believe that the sky is blue. I believe it as securely as I could believe anything else in my life." Jesus says, you're blessed, Peter. You're blessed. You're blessed by this faith that you possess. You blessed, not because, Peter, it's your faith or it's your strength or it's your understanding or it's your intellect or it's the fact that somehow you're able to mysteriously piece every single part of the puzzle together. Peter, that's not what makes you blessed. You're blessed because God's revealed this to you. It's your faith, Peter. That you're walking by. It's not your sight. Those other people in this depiction of that story, they're all starting to question this thing, but he's asking us to do things. He's performing. He's acting in ways that go against what we would like to believe, what we would want to have faith in. Peter says it's undeniable. It has to be true. Where he goes, we're going to go. We'll follow him. It's faith, which can be an incredibly difficult thing. I know, I'm certain of it. We're continuing, we're actually finishing this series, Starting Fresh with the Church. We've talked about a lot of interesting, fascinating topics, but we're ending here. We're ending with one of the culminating points of our following of Jesus, of being a church, of being Christians. And I think for some of us, it's the biggest stumbling block that we have. How can I believe when my life is filled with so many doubts? It's not that I think the whole thing is bad, but there are just too many gaps that exist. There are too many unknowns that exist. Faith, just you may say, may come difficult for me. I know that there are people that are here that you say, "Yeah, that was never my thing." You have the gift of faith. And I have to say, I'm totally envious of those of you who have that gift. It's not my gift. Believe, trust me, I believe. Believe it as strongly as I believe anything else in this world, more than anything else in this world. But for me, I'm somebody who wrestles with doubt. My wife has the gift of faith. There is, I mean, just every situation we go into, she just knows. Even in the death of a loved one, she just knows that somehow God's going to work in the midst of the loss. It's not that she's glad that a person has lost their life. It's not that she's glad that there's suffering or trials or any of those things. But for my wife, the answer is just so clear. It's as clear as anything else for her. And if that's you, if that's the gift that you have, if you just never can remember a time where you didn't believe, thank God for that. Give God praise for that. Don't take it for granted. Give God praise for that. Because it is, it's a gift that some of you have, but there are others of us where it's just not so easy. And we have doubt after doubt after doubt. Say, if only I could have this answered, or if only this wouldn't have happened, or if only I knew this, then it would be a lot easier. But I need some sort of confirmation that what I believe in is actually true. So we celebrated today as a church. You heard it in the announcements. You heard it in Hope 360. We celebrated confirmation here at Hope. And this is just like crazy numbers. 355 students at West Des Moines alone confirmed their faith today. That I'm from North Dakota. That's like a medium-sized city where I came from. 355 kids across all of our campuses, over 450 students confirmed their faith, were confirmed. And the reason why it's such a big deal, and the reason why we talk about it so much isn't because it's some rote tradition that we feel like we need to do because we're Luther. No, it's because what happens. It's what happens in the midst of that. And through confirmation, it's a three-year program here at Hope. It's 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And at the end of 8th grade, students have the choice on whether or not they want to confirm their faith. They learn about God. They study God. They learn about God's promises. They learn about the person of Jesus and the works that he did. And they talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of it, they have the opportunity to confirm that everything that they believed is true for them. In the last 2 weeks, the eighth graders, those students that were confirmed, they had their faith statements. And there is word out in popular culture that the church is losing its foundation and the next generation is in jeopardy because, you know, the church is in decline. If you want to know the hope of the church, you should hear these faith statements. Incredible. Incredible at the foundation, at the strength of these young people's faith, of their belief. They get to the point and they say, I believe that that's what I want to build my life on. I believe that it's true. I want to confirm that. The promises that were spoken into my life at my baptism, whether it was as an infant or whether it was in their early teenage years, I want to confirm that that's true. It's what I believe. But for a lot of us, we say, yeah, I remember what that was like. But it's not like that for me any longer. I mean, at one point it was easy. At one point it came natural, but then life happened, because it has a way of happening. I mean, maybe you think about faith, and maybe you say, I would love to have faith. I'd love to have a faith that I could build my life on. I'd love to have a faith like Peter had a faith. But for me, I'm new to this whole thing. I don't know enough. If I had more information, if I had time to get my legs underneath me, then it would be easier to believe. But right now, I feel like I'm in an infancy of my faith. And because of that, it's unreachable for me. I can't get it. I need to spend more time. And once I earn enough credibility or I earn enough chips, then I'll be able to have faith. But now I'm just kind of learning how to walk. And I have to crawl first. And it's this cloud that kind of hangs over you, this cloud of doubt that inhibits your faith. Or maybe it's not the fact that it's just a new thing for you. Maybe you're more of a logical person, and the cloud that hangs over you is the fact that you say, you know, I'm an A plus B equals C kind of person, and I need to see it in order to believe it. And it's not that I have any problem with Christianity. No, I love Christianity. I love God. I love Jesus. It's not that I even doubt that there was a person by the name of Jesus who lived. All of that is settled. I think that we should follow him. I think we should follow his ways. I think we should follow his teachings. But whether or not he's God, that's where it's just too big of a leap for me. I mean, the miracles, if those were true, then why don't we see them today? What's the deal with that? I mean, the fact that he gave sight to people who were blind, he gave the ability to walk to people who were paralyzed, who were lame, the fact that he was able to cast out evil spirits, the fact that he raised somebody, a guy by the name of Lazarus, from death to life, the fact that he himself was said to have overcome death himself. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think everything that we're taught in regards to faith is good. But my doubt is in some of the things that we just can't seem to explain. I can't believe it if I can't see it. Or maybe it's not the fact that you feel like you're new to it, or maybe it's not even some of those miracles that are difficult for you to understand. Maybe it's the fact that something's happened in your life. You say, yeah, I'd love to have faith. I'd love to put my faith in God. But the reason that I doubt it, or the reason I have doubts is because of the crisis that I've experienced or the tragedy that I've experienced. That if I'm going to put my faith, if I'm going to put my trust, if I'm going to place it in something or someone, then explain to me why these things are going on in my life. You want to know why I have doubts? You want to know why my faith seems to be weak at times? Well, let me give you a laundry list of the things that have happened, and I'll tell you why it's so difficult. I mean, if God is good and God wants the best for me and if God wants me to follow him and believe in him, then how do you reconcile the things that are going on in my life? And at one point, everything seemed natural, but this was the thing that kind of put skin in the game for me. And it caused me to abandon everything that I had believed once upon a time. And now, I can't get over it. I can't overcome it. It's too great of a thing it's too big of a hurdle for me to leap. I mean, faith, by definition, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, this is what makes it so difficult. The writer of Hebrews says, faith is the assurance of things that we hope for, and it's a conviction of things that we can't see. There is an essence of faith that is unexplainable. It's the assurance that what we hope is going to happen is actually going to happen. And it's the conviction deep down inside of us that what we hope for, what we can't see, it's the conviction that that's actually true. Not too long ago, I was in Haiti, and the last night that we were in Haiti, there was going to be this sunset. It had been kind of rainy the first 2 days, which it wasn't the rainy season, so that was kind of abnormal that there would be it would be cloudy while we were there. But the last night we were there, it was going to be beautiful. And so they told us, you have to go down to the bridge. It was this place that we hadn't been before. It was going to be a short drive for us to get there. Said, you have to go to the bridge. And the bridge is this place where you can see the most spectacular sunset you could ever see. And right before we were going to leave, this woman who works at Many Hands for Haiti, she told me, she said, yeah, but you need to promise me you'll go out onto the bridge. She said, it might seem a little scary. And I told her, I said, hey, I don't get scared about things like that. I don't get scared of heights. I don't have any problem with ledges or anything like that until I saw it. This isn't a bridge. This is a death trap. I mean, it's like 40 feet off of the water. And yeah, it looks like there's a fence there, but that's chicken wire. And it's rusty. And it's just high enough that if you trip over it, it's going to upend you and you're going to fall on your head. So at least you won't feel it when you die, but you'll certainly die. It's not going to protect you at all. And it's 5 2x6s wide. 2.5 feet wide. And when you step on it, it starts to bounce. And so we walk up to the bridge, and the sunset's going to be beautiful. And they said, okay, Jeremy, go ahead. Go ahead, you have to be kidding me. And they said, well, people drive their motorcycles across it. I said, yeah, people who want to die drive their motorcycles across it. I mean, there'll be a video that will kind of run through what it looks like, or maybe it already ran. But it's crazy. I thought to myself, there's absolutely no way that that thing is going to hold me. There's no way that I'm going to put my trust in 5 2x6s and chicken wire. It's not worth my life to put it in the hands of something that seems so shaky. Which is the difficulty with faith. Because for whatever we bring to the table, for whatever it is that gets in the way for us when our doubts begin to creep in, whatever that thing may be, It convinces us that to have faith, to put our trust in God, in Jesus Christ, we say, well, that could never hold me. It doesn't have the strength. It doesn't have the power. It doesn't have the capacity. There are too many things that I don't know about it. It seems a little bit shaky. So I'd love to do it, but I just can't. Because I only put my faith or my trust in things that are dependable, that I know how it's going to end up. But you do. You know it. The question of faith, and I'm not looking for any miraculous kind of like light bulb moments for anybody who's struggling with doubt. If you're struggling with doubt, the best invitation I have for you is to keep pushing into it. And you're not alone. I would say in a room this size, at least half of us are struggling with some sort of doubt in our faith, some sort of crisis that has evolved in our faith. And keep working with it. Because faith isn't something that's magic. Faith isn't kind of putting our trust in some pie-in-the-sky theology. It's not based on anything that's never happened before. No, it's based on the promises of God, who always makes good on his promises. It's based on the work of Jesus Christ, the work that he did while he lived and the work that he did in his death. And it's based on the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus says to Peter. Peter, you're blessed. Because you didn't come up with this on your own. You're blessed because it came to you by faith. It's a gift that you're given. When you hear the word and the power of the good news of God and Jesus Christ, and Peter says, I believe that you're the Son of God, but it wasn't that Peter's life was always easy. It's not like Peter's faith always came naturally to him. They're going across the Sea of Galilee, a place that was known for the storms. We've been there. We've been on that water. The wind comes and it gets turbulent. And Peter and the disciples are going across and a storm starts to break out. But all in the distance, they see a figure that starts to walk towards them. And immediately, they think it's a ghost. They think, oh, what's going on? We're having a vision right now. And Jesus says, no, it's not a vision. It's Jesus. And Peter says to Jesus, Jesus, if it's truly you, if you are who you say that you are, if you've called me to be a follower of yours. You see, this is what Jesus invites those disciples that follow him. This is what he invites them to. All of the disciples would know this. Everybody that lived at the time of Jesus would know this. That when there was a teacher with authority, which Jesus had, when there was a teacher who had respect and had a following, which Jesus had, when that teacher would call a follower or a disciple, that teacher was telling the follower, I believe that you can do anything that I can do. Jesus says in the Gospels to the disciples, you will go on to do greater things than these. I believe in you. Everything I've called you to do, you have the power and the ability to do it. It's not so much of your faith in yourself. It's the faith that I have and the belief that I have in you, the creator of the universe. So Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, call to me and let me walk on the water to you. And Jesus says, come. Peter isn't jumping out of the boat without thinking about it. He has no reason to doubt it. I mean, sometimes I think you can fill in the gaps on your own and kind of put a tone to what Jesus says, that maybe Jesus says, why do you have such little faith, Peter? Maybe he says it in a way that he's angry with Peter. He wants to admonish him, or he wants to ridicule him, or he wants Peter to feel bad about himself. But we forget that there is no evil in Jesus, and Jesus is nothing but love. And so what Jesus, I believe, what Jesus is saying to Peter is, Peter, who gets to decide what's possible for you? Peter, what are you going to have more faith in? Are you going to have more faith in the problem or the promise? Are you going to have more faith in the current reality, which, trust me, I know, it's so hard to do. But you have a God who's promised that there's nothing in all of creation that could ever separate you from the love of God that comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. He put his life on the line so that promise would be true in our lives. He says, Peter, don't have faith in the storm. Have faith in the God who can calm the storm. Peter, don't get so consumed with the immediate reality that you forget of the promise that God has for you in your life, the way that I've come to rescue you, what I believe and I've told you that's available to you. Have faith, Peter. Your faith doesn't need to be perfect. But the God that you have faith in is perfect. It's in Mark chapter 9. It's the Bible reading for this evening. Well, there's a man who has a son, and his son has been thrown into convulsions. He's unable to speak. He's possessed by a demon. So the word goes out to Jesus, and it says, Jesus, you got to come. And Jesus comes on the scene, and the man says to Jesus that Jesus' disciples, who had been going out and casting out demons in other people's names, or in Jesus' name in other people's lives. And I don't know what was different in this one. But for some reason, they were unable to do it. Jesus comes, he says, where's your faith? Jesus says, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. The man says to Jesus, he's terrified of what's going to come of my son. Jesus says, you can do anything if you just believe. You can do anything if you just have faith. There's hardly a more powerful statement that is uttered in Scripture of hope and of promise for us. The man says, I believe. I want to believe. But help me in my unbelief. Help me when faith is so difficult. I believe, But Jesus, there are times when it seems like everything is breaking loose, that faith just comes so hard, and God promises to step in those moments. It's the Apostles' Creed. It's the profession of our faith. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. In the last parts, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. In Martin Luther's explanation of the third article, that last part about the Holy Spirit, Luther says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. I believe that my finite mind doesn't have the ability to come to that which is infinite. If it were all up to me, if it were all up to my strength and my ability to learn more so I could have more and to do all of that, if it was all about earning faith and striving for faith, all of us would be lost. I believe that by my own strength and understanding, I cannot come to Jesus or to believe him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, to the good news of Jesus Christ. It's putting my promises or putting my hope and my faith in the promises and the works of God, of what he's done. It's looking at the track record of God and looking at all the things that God has done over the course of history and saying, that's the thing I want to put my faith in. There's a whole lot of things in this world that I do not know, but there is one thing that I do know, that we have a God that's come to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and that God, through Jesus Christ, says all things are possible if we put our faith, if we put our trust in him, even when we don't believe it at the present time, even when the circumstances cause us to question if it truly is true. I believe, Jesus, the man says, but help me when I don't believe. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things that we can't see. And then the writer of Hebrews goes through this litany of amazing things that people have done by faith. Goes throughout the catalog of scripture. It's by faith that Abraham was able to leave everything that he had known and go to a place that God had shown him. It was by faith that Moses leads the people of Israel from slavery to freedom. It's by faith, and the writer of Hebrews goes through all those people. So he says, let us, therefore, in Hebrews chapter 12, therefore let us cast off anything that would restrain us. Let us cast off anything that would get in the way of our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the God who has come into this world. Let us fix our eyes on him, who is the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Let us let him be the answer. Let us let him and his character and his works and his miracles and the reality that he conquers death in his resurrection and he raises us to a new life. Let us fix our eyes on that truth and let that be the thing that would guide us. Don't let our feelings always be the things that govern us. Feelings are incredible barometers. Feelings are incredible things that allow us to take the temperature of the world around us. But feelings are horrible compasses. Our feelings come and go. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. I feel really great about the twins a week ago, and now I can't stand them today. They're based on circumstance. My feelings towards my kids are whether or not they listen to me. They're horrible compasses. They're great barometers. They allow us to say, okay, something's going on. I need to fix my eyes back on the promises, on the reality of who God is and what God's done, to remind me of what God can do. I mean, if he can raise from death to life, if he can destroy our sin, surely he can overcome your doubt. Surely he can be the thing that's trustworthy, that can hold you, that can support you, that's worthy of your life, the air that you breathe. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, he says, faith comes from hearing. It's a gift. That's why we sing worship songs. That we sing the truths and the promises of God, and in that, hearing the word of God creates faith in us. Right before that, Paul says it's if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you'll be saved. He says, well, how are people going to be saved if they never hear about them? And how are people going to hear about it if nobody tells them? And how are people going to tell them if they've never been sent? And then Paul says, how beautiful are the feet of those who carry the good news of Jesus Christ. Because faith comes from hearing. I mean, we come and we hear and we're reminded of the goodness of God, but we also carry it out with us. That we create faith in the world around us by reminding and pointing people back to the God who it's made it all possible. I mean, I knew that night in Haiti, the sunset was going to be extraordinary. And I didn't want to go out on the bridge. I could believe that was going to happen, but when I saw it, it's incredible. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen. Not just because I see it, but because by it, I see everything else. People say, oh, if I see it, I'll believe it. But more often, it's when we believe it through the difficulty, through the doubt, that it becomes apparent to us. When you think about it, before Jesus left, think about the promises that he made. Those disciples knew from the top of their head to the tip of their toes, they knew that what he was saying to them was true, but it was so hard. So he sends himself with them. It's the last supper that they had with one another. Jesus takes bread and he breaks it and he gives thanks and he gives it for them to eat. And he says, this is my body and it's broken for you. Take it and eat it and do it to remember me. To remember what I've done for you. To receive my grace and my love. The same way after supper, he took a cup of wine and after giving thanks, he gave it for them all to drink. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood and it's poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of their sins. Take it and drink it and do it to remember me so that you can see who I am. Let that be the thing that's the compass for your life.